Mm-hmm. And this is what our government is full of, and some of our universities are also full of this. And this is why when I first was contacting people like university professors, they don't care. They don't even care when you tell them that they're teaching false history. They don't care about anything. They just want tenure. You know, it's like all the losers are getting into these jobs where they don't have to perform, and you can't fire them, and you don't even know what they're doing. You can't really see them. They don't have to compete. They don't have to prove themselves. And so, you know, you shouldn't blame government for the problem. It's not government. It's certain individuals in the government. You know, saying you personally. I'm just talking like to the audience, because you'll see that if you try to complain about a Jew, you get all the Jews saying it's not all Jews. Well, but then right. They do the same thing to government. It's not all the government. It's not all the military that's bad. It's not all the policemen that's bad either. It's some of them. And this is what we have to realize. There is nothing wrong with government. There's nothing wrong with the concept of police. It's the people that are the problem. It's individuals that are the problem. And if we have to start looking at the quality of the people.
But what happened was our government was small in the 50s and the 60s. And what happened after the revolution was the civil rights movement created all kinds of programs that suck off the government. It starts to get bigger. They increase the welfare state to a huge size. I mean, it's over $10 billion a year to support these people that don't work. Children's services, they're sucking off of the government. No smoking campaigns. Those are Jewish run. And it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. So yes, it may be the people, but who are those people?
Yeah, a lot of, I know. You're looking at so many of them are Jews. This is the thing they don't like when you point this out. So many of them. They're like parasites sucking off of our societies.
I know. Now, normally, since we missed a little bit at the beginning, we would do a break here. But what I'd like to do instead of the break is play this clip I have. Because what I'd like to do is... someone just gave me some statistics. Illegitimate birth rate, 5% in 1960, 35% in 2008. And blacks in 2008 were 70%. So, yeah, that and divorce, they're major issues. But to get to the problem of 9/11, I'd like to first start out with the USS Liberty, because there's a lot of people that don't know about that. I'm going to play about 3 minutes of this clip, Eric, instead of the break, and then we're going to start talking about the Liberty.
Okay.
This is one of the crewmen on the USS Liberty from 1967. His name is Phil Turney. He has a show on Republic Broadcasting on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time called the Liberty Hour. And here he is.
The mental torture, to me, is the worst. Being denied help from your own government, being attacked, slaughtered by your ally, supposed ally, 42 years later, here we are, still being attacked. I get attacked every night. I lay my head on the pillow. Our government abandoned us. They still are. And Israel still is, because they got by with murdering my shipmates. And it breaks my heart. It kills me. You know, no matter what happens in this world, we have our shipmates. And, we have our ins and outs, and we fight a little bit, but in the end, they're still my shipmates. And I love them for that. And I try so hard to get the truth out. It just kills me. And then I get grief from my own shipmates, for even being on this radio show. Imagine that. Mark Glynn and I came together, I think it's God's wish, and this show became a reality. Excuse me if I'm a little emotional today, but I am. I have two sons in the military. I can't sleep. I worry about my other shipmates. I've been called an anti-Semite by my own shipmates, a Jew hater, a Nazi. Hell, you might as well put me right in charge of the gas chambers, because that's what they think I am. But I'm not. I'm here to get the damn truth out. Israel got by with cold-blooded premeditated murder, and nobody, I don't give a darn if it's Israel or who else, should ever get by with murder. Nobody.
Eric, are you there?
Yes.
All right. And that even gives me chills. But that's Phil Cherney. I had him and Rod Kukul on one of my shows on the other network that I was on. Now, if we're going to solve 9/11, let's solve the USS Liberty. That happened on June 8, 1967. Real bright, clear day. You could see the American flag on their intelligence ship. You could read the letters on the side of the ship. 13 Israeli flights had flown reconnaissance over the ship that morning. Nothing unusual. The guys on the ship could see the guys in the airplane. And yet, about 2 p.m., Israel started bombing the USS Liberty. The first thing they did was they took out their weapons. And the second thing they did was took out their communication. As the medics were up there on the deck trying to rescue the guys that were injured and dying and dead, Israel shot at them. When they tried to put life rafts in the water, they shot the life rafts. The ship got some communication up and radioed, emergency. We're being shot at. And I think it was the Saratoga and the American were close by. They immediately started out. They were called back by our U.S. government. Israel tried to sink this ship for an hour and 15 minutes. They finally stopped. The word is some other ship came in from Russia and saw them and identified Israel because they had tried to black out the fact of who they were. So Israel flew away. Still nobody came to the ship. All those guys on the ship, including Phil and Ron, had to tend to the dead and the dying and the body parts that were all over. All the men that they knew, they were all massacred. There was 31 of them. So they limped back to the port. And nothing's been done about it. They won't do an investigation. Allegedly, Israel said they would pay the United States $6 million. And that supposedly shut it down. But they never had a congressional hearing on it. They never had a congressional investigation. So what are your comments on that, Eric?
Well, I think I remember seeing even a BBC documentary in which one of the Israeli pilots admitted to this, and they just said, it was a mistake. I mean, they're not denying it. They don't deny it happened. They're just trying to pass it off as meaningless. And it is shocking when you consider that if any other nation tried this, or if an individual or a teenage gang, you have to imagine a group of people doing this today, other than Israel. Imagine yourself taking a machine gun into a Navy facility and just start shooting the people. Imagine killing 30 of them and wounding hundreds of others and just walking away. And imagine if the Navy starts complaining, the other Navy members start attacking him as a Nazi. I mean, it would be shocking if you saw this happen. And yet it did happen with Israel. And you made a good comment in your email to me. If our government can't even deal with this, when Israel admits it, then how are they going to deal with 9/11 when Israel denies it?
Right.
I mean, they can't even deal with something that Israel admits to. And which there's so much proof about.
There's so much proof.
It's a sign that our military is totally under their control. They have, you know, this is one of the big misperceptions people have of the military and even the police and a lot of men in general. Men have this attitude that if they have a gun, they're somehow powerful and brave. But that, you know, having a gun doesn't make you brave or powerful or courageous. If a man is courageous, he'll be able to look at this evidence calmly, without his teeth grinding, without his heart pounding. He'll be able to look at it and have a conversation about it. We don't have brave men in control of our military. We have puppets and we have violent men. We don't have brave men. If they were brave, they'd be able to face problems. And people think, you'll see with gang members, see, what's interesting is to compare gang members and what they say to the type of people we have in leadership and the type of men that you'll see even coming out on Alex Jones' radio show. Listen to a gang member. You'll hear remarks from them. I've actually seen it on TV in interviews. They'll say things like, well, the reason I carry a gun, because people will ask me, you know, why are you carrying a gun to school? Well, I carry a gun because I get respect with a gun. When I didn't have a gun, people treated me badly. These gang members are so stupid, they don't know the difference between fear and respect. When they carry a gun, they frighten people and people are quiet around them. When they don't carry the gun, people are, you know, they'll ignore them or treat them like dirt. They think that the gun gives them respect. The gun only gives them fear. It causes fear, you see. And this is the attitude a lot of men have. When they have a gun, everybody gets quiet and listens to them. And then they think, wow, the gun is bringing me respect. I can get people to listen to me with this gun. But that doesn't bring respect. It's bringing fear. And this is what we have in control of our government. People that think that waving guns around makes them brave and that will make them get respect from us. But that doesn't get respect. We need men who can look at this evidence, who can talk about it without their heart pounding, without their teeth grinding, without all the nasty remarks and the sarcasm. And that is what we don't have in control. We have puppets, we have violent men, and we have losers in control.
Well, let me just tell you, Eric, Adlai Stevenson and Barry Goldwater, they tried to look into it. And then Secretary of State Dean Rusk tried to look into it. What the Jews do to them is badmouth them, say they're homosexual, say that they've done something terrible, and they just laugh at them. And then all the people, because our media is controlled by people with Jewish names, all the people are influenced by that. There was a Wisconsin legislator named Marlon Schneider. He tried to open an investigation into it. He lost his job. That's what they do. But today, too many people do know the truth. We didn't know it back then.
Well, also,
we didn't even know about Israel. But today we do know. The only way to get to 9/11 is to get an investigation done on the Liberty.
Well, that might be a good way to start. But the other thing is that people didn't realize, I think, back in those days, who was that guy who was going after communism? I forgot his name now.
McCarthy.
Yeah. That guy, if you look at his assistant, he was a Jew. You see, this is the thing I've discovered that I didn't quite realize how extensive it was. When I came out with my 9/11 information, you get a lot of people coming to you to help you. And you don't admit, at first you don't realize, you know, why are these Jews coming to help me? You don't realize they're not here to help. They're here to get information about you or to try to trick you into doing something, or they're looking for something, or they want to become your friend so they can set you up with something. That's what they were doing to people like McCarthy. And back in those days, I don't think people realized the tricks. And then on top of that, I don't think they realized how big this network was. You see, people, this network is gigantic. It's easily in the thousands. It could even be the millions worldwide. Millions. Because what they're doing is they've got all the media, the alternative media, they're all over the websites, they're monitoring YouTube message boards, and they're in other nations. And they're constantly putting out this message that, oh, there's only a few people involved. It's just a few bankers. It's just a few New World Order people. And you don't realize, it's incredibly big. They're everywhere. Yeah. It's shocking.
Let me interrupt something about Joseph McCarthy. He did have Jews around him, but he wasn't Jewish. This is what Joseph McCarthy did. He identified 40 Jewish Soviet spies in the federal government. And in the early 1980s, some of that Soviet spy text was translated, not all of it, but some of it, that confirmed that every Jewish Soviet spy that he identified, in fact, was a Jewish Soviet spy. And I'll tell you something else he did. There were about 200 more Jews that he couldn't quite get, but they were making subversive propaganda movies, and he banned them. He banned them until 1965. That 65 is when the revolution started. That's when all the strange movies started coming out. They just went full bore, Eric. So Joseph McCarthy actually did a great thing. The Jews said he was a homosexual. The Jews ruined his life. And there was nothing wrong with him. He was the last brave man besides John F. Kennedy in our government. John F. Kennedy was instituting our own currency, and he was, I mean, his own government wasn't even listening to him. There's a Bay of Pigs. John F. Kennedy. So McCarthy got ruined. John F. Kennedy is dead. Then you have like this Wisconsin legislator and many more that have been drowned out. But I think today we can do it.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely changing. What they've depended on all these centuries is keeping people ignorant and confused. And it was easy centuries ago because there was no way to spread information except by pieces of paper. You know, you go back far enough, you had to write it down with an ink pen on, you know, paper was scarce. Most people didn't even read. And now you look at the difference today. Information's instantaneous. They've lost the ability to control our information. And that is what they depend on. Once they lose their secrecy, we can see what they're doing. It's not that difficult. It doesn't take any great intelligence. It doesn't, you know, it's not hard to see what they're doing. It's all a trick. It's all just a bunch of losers and criminals and weirdos tricking us. And once they've lost that and it's gone, it's going to now spread throughout the population slowly. And even though most people are going to continue ignoring it, it doesn't matter that most people ignore it. It's going to have an effect eventually. And we will eventually see improvements. It's just a question of which nation goes down with them. You know, America is deteriorating, but it's definitely going to change. People shouldn't get depressed when they look around and think not much is happening, because I can tell you a lot has happened. A lot has changed since 2002. Because when I first got involved in 2002, I had to be careful just bringing up 9/11. Just talking about that maybe we're not being told the truth would bring me accusations that I'm a anti-Semite or a unpatriot or, you know, something like that. Today, I can talk about it with strangers. You know, they just ignore me or they talk to me.
Yes.
And that's a big difference.
Well, let me tell you real quick. My sister and I started doing videos on YouTube in the fall of 2006, and out of 9 videos, 2 were on the Jews. We didn't know that much, but what we knew then was entirely accurate. And in August of 2007, we pissed off some Jews, and they called Channel 10 and said, "You have an anti-Semitic cop working for the Columbus Police Department in Columbus, Ohio." My department was scared to death. You know, they didn't have the courage that the Maricopa County, Arizona Police Department have today. They were just scared, you know, because the Jews were in Columbus, Ohio. So I was ready to retire. So I left. But the point is that what it did, exposing me nationally, what it did was give people that were listening to this the right to say what they were thinking. It is the Jews.
Yeah, this is another very interesting thing. Their tricks are backfiring now. You see, years ago, when they did something like that, nobody outside the local area is likely to have heard about it, because information didn't spread very easily. But now when they do these things, it's going all over the world. People that don't even know you will hear about it. It's like that Austrian politician when he died mysteriously in that car crash. I never heard of that guy. And yet I look on the internet and here's all these rumors that Israel did it. You know, it's, and the same with the 7/7 bombing in London. That went immediately all around the world, that this is a false flag operation by Israel again. You see, so now every time they do these tricks of theirs, there's murders, these false flag operations, people are now looking for the Israeli connection.
Let me read you something real quick. I just got this in today from CFIF.org. Extreme liberals in Congress and in the Obama administration are resurrecting plans to silence Rush Limbaugh. They're coming in the back door. The Federal Communications Commission, Robert McDonald, recently said that he fears the new administration and a Democratic Congress may try to revive the so-called fairness doctrine. Now, there was also the man that Russia put this out. The man in the head of the Federal Reserve committed suicide, I guess, today or yesterday, and they're blaming it on a Mossad job.
Oh, you mean AIG, not the Federal Reserve?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yes, I don't have his name.
Yeah, I forgot his name.
I have it. It says David Kellerman.
Yeah.
Yeah, of the new U.S. government-controlled home funding provider, Freddie Mac, was found hacking.
Oh, that's it, Freddie Mac.
Yes, and what the FSB described as an Israeli Mossad-initiated suicide. After his tracing of over $50 billion in United States government funds that were funneled to Israel and led to the collapse of the American mortgage giant.
Well,
yes?
Oh, go ahead.
Well, that's exactly what you were saying.
Yeah, well, who knows exactly why they killed them, but you see, people are looking for it. It's like even the Mumbai attack in India. People are immediately thinking, something's wrong here. How's Israel involved? You see, they can't get away with this stuff any longer. They're fooling the ordinary people, but that doesn't do them any good. You know, the ordinary people are not the ones that are going to be changing the world. And so what's happening is that, and even the ordinary people, even though they're not going to come along on our side, they're not going to really help Israel either. You see, so it's going to have an effect on the world eventually. It's going to have an effect on Israel and Zionism. They can't get out of this now. They've lost their secrecy. They've lost that protective mechanism of, you know, everybody immediately defending them. They don't get defended any longer. You know, if you bring up the Holocaust now, people just turn away from you. Most of them will turn away rather than attack you like they used to do.
Yes. Now, we've got about 6 minutes before break. Before we go on break, let's talk about the truth movement, because you've written a lot about that. And we were talking about the people in the truth movement, white supremacists, what are they, the JIDF, which is the Jewish Israeli Defense Force, the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL. What is your opinion about some of these, what you were saying, disinformation agents that are in this movement that are trying to mess us up, and how do we recognize them? Who are they?
Well, trying to recognize them is the hard part, because you can't tell if they're just plain naive or they're really friends or what. But I think they're all over it. This is what people don't. You have. I think the reason they've been getting away with getting away with so much for so long is there are so many of them that people can't even imagine that it could be this big. But it's just about everybody I've ever met in this truth movement. Almost all of them that get publicity, and I don't know how you can determine who they are. You just have to get to know them for a while, because they start off trying to be your friend. And you have no way of recognizing them as anything else, because they behave exactly like you'd expect a friend to behave. And they'll say what you want to hear.
Correct. Let me name a few for you, because you listed them on your site. Michael Allen Weiner, who I assume is Mike Savage.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are starting to realize that. You know, people like that, the reason they're even in the media, that's the conventional media. The reason he gets so much publicity, of course, is because he's working with them. And you can tell by listening to what he says, you know, he's constantly defending Israel. And he's basically just another Zionist spokesman. And he's also hiding his real name, coming out as Michael Savage, who appears to be some Christian conservative. Right. You know, that's not what he really is. But he's in the regular media. It's in the alternative media that gets confusing. You know, that's where you have to be really careful. because that's where they'll try to set you up. They'll look for your weaknesses. They bring up issues. You know, they sound like they're just talking about ordinary conversations. They'll just talk about, oh, how they had some drugs the other week, and they're hoping that you start getting into the conversations, and then you let out information that they can use, like you do use drugs, or you've got some homosexual tendencies. They're looking for something. This is what they do whenever they see somebody that they want, politicians or people like you or me. They go after you in large numbers, not just one or two, in large numbers. And each one is slightly different. Each one talks about something a little bit different. But they're all working for the same cause. And this is what I think people just can't get used to, is the size of this network. It's gigantic. You know, even Sophia, who did 9/11 Mysteries, she first started contacting me in 2004. Now you listen to her latest show the other day with Dave Von Kleist. She's talking about Morgellons disease and how these little fibers have intelligence. She is becoming just like the rest of them now. She's talking about how these little fibers have intelligence. What is that? I mean, there's nothing to base any of this on. It's just nonsense. But she started out appearing to be a normal woman who wants to help me and others expose the crimes. And now she's just promoting the same old nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. You've got at least 200 million people in the United States that possibly could make a difference. You have people like us that know the truth and cut through the crap and get to the main issue and ignore the stupid stuff that they try to throw in our path. Then you have the other people that you're talking about that are very influenced by people like that woman and Alex Jones, and they follow them. Who is going to make the difference, us or them?
Well, as far as changing the country, this is I don't think the only people that can do it, the only people that really could possibly change the country at this point, I've given up on the ordinary people. They're not going to do anything. The only thing I can hope for is that the military there are some people within our military that are wising up, and they're just going to do things on their own without waiting for an okay from the top management. And it may be that some individual policemen will start doing things on their own secretly. I don't see how it's going to happen otherwise. It's going to have to be these small groups just secretly doing things on their own. Because what are we going to wait for? Are we going to wait for the president to say, okay, let's start cleaning the country up? You know, that's not going to happen. The president is the puppet. Look at this, Obama. All he's doing is, it seems like, is having parties. He's just like Bush. They don't do anything. They're like a styrofoam dummy. And so I don't think we can wait for that. The people that are in the police and the military are just going to have to start doing things on their own, quietly, and they can do it. They are capable.
Well, Eric, yes, it's like a Maricopa County down there in Phoenix, Arizona area, that all these cops stood up on TV and said, we are not racist. We do not like you calling us racist. We are insulted by that. We take an oath to uphold the Constitution. And they went on and on and on about it. I mean, it was awesome. It was totally awesome. If my police department had done that, it would have made a big, big difference. It would have started sooner. What you're talking about needs to happen. Eric, we're going to go on a quick break, maybe about 5 minutes, and then we'll be right back. We're going to talk about 9/11, maybe a little bit more about the Jews. We'll be right back, America. Hold on.